I wonder how you're feeling right now. You've heard so much from these ladies, haven't you? We've been to Fiji, we've been to New Guinea, and we've been to Africa. And all that these precious ladies have done, and the work that's being done, and so much that's still needing to be done. Well, are you feeling a little overwhelmed? Perhaps a little? That's how I feel too. Quite little. So I thought for the next few moments, we might just look at some of the little ladies in the New Testament. We'll just look at their service. We're going to skip around. But we're going to think of our service for the Lord, our little bit, in our small corner. So I've called this summary time, "This is my serve." Now if you're a sporting enthusiast, you might think I'm going to speak about tennis. No. This is my serve. Well, if you're a cooking gourmet, you might think I'm going to speak about Black Forest cakes. No. Let's just think about our serve in the big harvest field of Sydney and wider, of our small serves in so-and-so street by so-and-so. So let's start with some of the nameless ladies, no-name ladies. Actually, my favourite brand, no name. Some may say it's cheap, but I don't think so. I think that brand is rather special. And these ladies, these no-name ladies in the New Testament are very special. Let's just have a look at some of them. Actually, let's think of what the Apostle Paul told his friend Archippus in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 17. He says this, "See to it that you complete the work you have received in the Lord." And these ladies did just that. And so are millions of no-name ladies doing just that, overseas and here. They knew that nothing is small in the service of God, nothing. Their motto could well be what I've got on my desk at home. This is what it says, "I may not do great things, but I will do small things in a great way." Is your place small? Tend it with care. God placed you there. Well, our first no-name lady has a whole book in the Bible dedicated and preserved in her honour. Second John, John's second epistle, is written to the chosen lady and her children. This lady was of eminent quality. Not only chosen, but choice. Why? Because she had chosen to put her trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, she found that she had actually been chosen for a very special job. And what was her job? To be a Christian mother. Verse 4, Paul says, "He rejoiced greatly to find some of her children walking in the truth." Her service? Small. No way. To be a mother walking in the truth, leading her children to walk in truth and also walk in love, if you looked at verse 6. And knowing John, we're not surprised. This is how we work in love? How? In obedience to the Lord's command. Can I tell you something? I'm so glad that God put in those verses this little word. It was a comfort to me. Some of her children were walking in truth. Not all, some. You see, they had to make a choice too. And I'm sure we would be, a lot of us, comforted by that too. You see, some of her children too made the choice to follow the Lord and found that they'd been chosen. In verse 13 of Romans 16, which is a great chapter, Romans 16's got a lot of ladies, and a lot of them are little ladies. We've got the mother of Rufus, another no-name lady. And she's really special. She was especially special to Paul. She'd been a mother to many, and to Paul too. Well, Christian love expressed in a motherly way to many, and I'm sure many here have done just that. What a great service. She was available for mothering. I meant to say this before and I didn't. Oh, well, doesn't it? I will read later. In Luke, here it is. God does not ask us about our ability or inability, but our availability. That's what I wanted to say. And here was the mother of Rufus, a little lady, but she was willing to mother many. In Luke chapter 8 and verses 2 and 3, we have a group of women, and I love in the King James Version, they're called certain women. Now, some could say they were just some women, but I like certain women. Certain, not just some, but very certain. They were women who were sure and settled in their faith for the Lord Jesus. They were certain about who they were and what God wanted them to do, them being who they were. They were certain women. They had been healed by him and now they were following him as his disciples. They ministered and served to him. And our service so often might look as though it's for this, that and this one and that one. It's for him. And these certain women had that special privilege of ministering to him. How did they do it? Out of their own means. These dear ladies did what they could with what they had. And that's what it's all about. Now amongst them you'll find a few named ladies, names we know very well, like Mary Magdalene and Susanna and Joanna. Joanna was the wife of the chief steward in Herod Antipas's home, Shusa, and perhaps he was trusting the Lord too. But this is what this little group of women did. They walked in his steps. They stayed very close to the Lord, doing what they could do. And that's so important when we're doing what we can do, is to stay very close to the Lord. Mary would stay close for a long time, during very difficult days, and she would be the first to see the resurrected Lord. And we think of her so often, at Easter especially. These certain women had experienced the Lord's power over Satan in their lives, and in love and gratitude, they handed their lives back to the Lord, a living sacrifice. If you looked in Acts chapter 21 and 9, you'd find there were four nameless maidens, all the daughters of Philip. Remember? Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Well, these four lovely girls followed in their father's footsteps, and they were busy prophesying. Well, now we're going to look at some named ladies, but they're less named, if you can be like that. This type of woman, Mary, the mother of Mark, only known because she's the mother of somebody. Well, Mary, the mother of Mark, John Mark, that is. And you'll see her in Acts chapter 12. She was a widow who served by sharing her home for prayer meetings and for other things, I'm sure, too. She opened her home in Jerusalem for this prayer meeting in the midst of danger and persecution. James had lost his head, literally. And Peter was in prison. And so they were having this prayer meeting. And remember Rhoda? I like Rhoda. I can just imagine her praying like mad, sure God would answer the prayer. And when it stared her in the face, she shut the door on it. Been there? Yes. Dear Rhoda. Well, Peter stood before her eyes. Actually, their prayer had been answered before they hardly prayed it. And that's a great thing to remember. Like many faithful women today, Mary supported the frontliners in prayer. Prayer is not the least we can do. It is the most. And I mean it. Take encouragement from Mary's meeting today. And perhaps you're praying for something. Remember, the answer's on the way. I hope you'll recognise it. May not be quite what you expect. Nothing lies beyond the reach of prayer except that which lies beyond the will of God. Many of us, like Mary, are better known because we're the mother of somebody. So here we've got a grandmother and a mother in 2 Timothy. You've guessed it, Eunice and Lois. Mother and grandmother of Timothy. They served very importantly. How? By being the grandmother and mother of Timothy. When Paul describes Timothy's faith, he says it is the same as first dwelt in these two dear ladies. This is the type of faith, the leaning of your entire personality on God in Christ, an absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom and goodness. Faith, forsaking all, I trust him. Faith. Timothy saw their faith, he lived with it. And although he was converted through Paul's ministry, the seed was sown by these two dear women. They had taught Timothy the scriptures at their knees, never dreaming of the great plans that God had for this young man. I read once on a Choice Gleanings calendar this: we are a bit like the servants at the marriage at Cana. You know where the Lord was. Our work is to fill the water pots. Our children, our own, or the ones in clubs like Bethany's, or those children. Our work is to fill the water pots with water. The word of God, and that's the word of God. The Lord will turn the water into wine. Well, if you looked in Philemon chapter 1 and verse 2, you would find a lady who I've never met before. I don't even know how to say her name, but I'm going to say it like this: Apphia. And she's probably the wife of Philemon, or Philemon, whichever way you like. She had a different kind of ministry. For if she was the wife of Philemon, she had the ministry of forgiveness, because that young servant had stolen from her and her husband, and that's not easy to take when you've trusted somebody, as she would have. Now Paul asks them to welcome back Onesimus. His life had been changed. She would have been very disappointed in that young man, and now she'd have to trust him again. Not easy, if you've been there. Failure is not final. The ministry of forgiveness is very essential and often pops its head up in our service of unconditional love to others. Unconditional love. Love like the Lord Jesus. What about, and I don't know how you say this either, Philippians 4 and 2, Euodia and Syntyche. Well, they were also encouraged by Paul to just extend in this love business, the ability to love. And these two ladies were asked to be of the same mind. Now, that's not easy, and it takes a lot of love. In fact, it made me think of Mrs. Chambers. Do you know what she calls these two ladies? Odious and soon touchy. And we're often like soon touchy, aren't we? And it is quite impossible to love so-and-so, and it's certainly impossible to be of the same mind as so-and-so. Well, F.B. Meyer said this: you never test the resources of God until you attempt the impossible. What about in Romans 16? There are names of some other women. I gave you some no-name brand, and I gave you some less-named. Here are the less-named here. Verse 6, we've got Mary. What does it say about her? Worked very hard for you. She worked hard. Verse 12, Tryphena and Tryphosa. Well, they're a bit like me. I try very hard too. And these Tryphena and Tryphosa tried very hard. With Persis, or Persis, they all worked hard for the Lord. And it was noted, those things where we just do our best, even in the small things. They all knew service is love for the Lord in working clothes. That's what service is. Love for the Lord in working clothes. In verse 7, you've got Junius. Now, I hope she's a female. I'm not sure. But anyhow, I want to talk about her because she, like Adronicus, not coffee, was a relative of Paul. And do you know what? He says of them, he says they were as outstanding amongst the apostles. Do you know what also? They had been imprisoned with Paul at one stage, he says. The service that counts is the service that costs. And you've heard these ladies talking of their service. It is counting. It has cost. Phoebe, oh, she's another Romans 16 lady, and there's only 49 words about her, and she's a single lady, courageous and committed, and so special, committed to serving the Lord. She never felt lonely. She had so many people to serve. I still think she might have felt lonely, but anyhow, doesn't matter. Paul says of her, she has been a great help to many people, including me. That was Paul. She was a helper, a succourer. Oh yes, and a postal worker. Because you see, it was her that carried Paul's letter to the Romans all the way from her little port town near Corinth, across the sea and across the land to the Christians at Rome. She did it. A lady who was available to carry a letter. And what a letter. Romans. So vital in God's word for them that day and for us today. A lady willing to do whatever God wanted her to do. Now look at a few well-known ladies. I was going to say well-known brands, but I don't want it. These are well-known ladies, named ladies. Dorcas. Well, in Acts 9, she was always doing good. And you could say, doing good in all ways. She was terrific. Her work with needles, sewing for the poor, made her so important that when she died, she was brought back to life to work with her needles some more, perhaps. A lady who used her one talent, seemingly insignificant. But it was significant. It signified her love for the Lord and for others. She's the only woman in the Bible that's called a disciple, a follower of Jesus. Lydia, Acts 16, the first convert in Europe. Now this successful businesswoman did not let her business crowd out her busyness for the Lord. God came first. Paul met her at a prayer meeting by the river in Philippi. She opened her heart to the gospel and her home to Paul. That's what we learn about Lydia. She opened her home to Paul and others. Lydia sold purple dyed cloth. Well, I've got something in common with Lydia, the colour purple. I accidentally dyed my hair purple once. But anyhow, it's Priscilla that I have a little more in common. And it's not tent making. You can read about Priscilla in Acts chapter 18. She and her husband Aquila were tent makers. But what I've got in common with Priscilla is that she was a co-labourer with her husband in small and new assemblies. And that's my serve. Priscilla and her husband were united in their faith, their trade and their service for God. And they carried on Paul's work in many places when he moved on. Priscilla and her husband taught and trained others the Word of God so that they could go on working with the Word of God. They multiplied themselves through discipling others. And that's what Laurie and I have been trying to do. And Apollos was one of them that Priscilla helped. A refugee Jew from Italy, they moved several times in their service for God. I think there's a few of us that can relate to that. Many times the church was in their home, and that's not easy sometimes. Tradition tells us that Priscilla and her husband were beheaded, martyred in Ephesus, and I didn't know that before. They sheltered Paul in Corinth, and even when they did that, they put their own life in danger. In the end, that was the way they were called home. Well, my service. I'm a co-labourer with my husband, been in full-time service for almost 30 years, firstly in Africa with Christian missions in many lands, and now at home with GLOW, an arm of CMML, just one little part of the great work that CMML does around the world. Laurie's work is primarily helping assemblies by placing teams and ourselves working in new assemblies, planting new assemblies, helping struggling assemblies in suburban growth areas, country areas, in Australia and overseas. You've heard about the training that Bessie saw with Trish and Ross. The training centre at Smithton this year has got 19 students. Pray for them. They're being taught Bible knowledge and they're also being shown practical church ministries. God willing, another training centre may open in Queensland in 1995. It looks as though the Lord is leading in that way, not as a substitute, but as a help to the other training centre. And the Lord has led in a miraculous way for that, as he has at Riverston. And we just can't praise him enough. At Riverston one day, the Lord willing, there'll be a missionary training, team training centre. The teams of people already heading out somewhere. In Australia, 7 new assemblies have been helped during the past 10 years. And we just want to praise God for the openings and for the way for the people in these assemblies. Because it's not the buildings, as you know, that count, but the body of Christ. And we just praise God for the work he's doing. There's a new team just settling in on the outskirts of Brisbane. My serve, in particular, is with women and children, ministering to children. Pray for Monday Club. Anyhow. But you know, last night a long phone call interrupted my work. We all know what that is like. At the end of the long phone call, the lady said to me, "You are like a verbal Valium." I said, "Oh, thanks." And I don't know what God sees as my most important work. Perhaps it's being a verbal Valium. Be a verbal Valium to somebody today. Just listen. Who knows what is most important, big or little? The cup of water, the verbal Valium, whatever. I don't know. We're going to finish with Mary and Martha, Luke 10. Well, they had an open house, and the Lord felt at home in their house. Praise God for the houses where people feel at home. Hospitality. Even 6 days before the Lord's death, Martha was serving at a banquet in his honour. Martha. It was Sandra that mentioned Martha, wasn't it? Yes, she needed time to be with the Lord. So important. The most important part of our service for the Lord will be the time we spend with him. There is no time lost in waiting if you are waiting on the Lord. Mary was hungry for the word of God. Well, ladies, don't belittle your ministry today. What seems important to us may not be what's important to God. The whole world, though, we've looked at it today. The Lord asked Moses a long time ago, God asked him this, "What is that in your hand?" Exodus chapter 4, verses 2 and to 5. Moses answered, "A rod." God said, "Go and work with that rod and you will be my servant." Well, what is in your hand today? Take it, work with it. Be the servant of the Lord. Faithfully doing all you can do, being who you are, strong in his strength. Remember this, Thessalonians 5 and verse 24, "The one who calls you is faithful and he will do it." The ladies that we've heard from today, pray for them and their work. We're so grateful for the privilege of hearing about it and being in touch. Now we're going to be in touch in our prayers. And prayers is not the least we can do, it's the most. Shamgar had an ox goad. David had a sling. Dorcas had a needle. Rahab had some string. Samson had a jawbone. Moses had a rod. Mary had some ointment. They all were used of God. And we will be too. No name or whatever.